Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere. You cannot get away from the Maller brand because management wants us to keep doing other shows. So it's the podcast, the spinoff version of the Ben Maller Overnight Show, because 4 hours, obviously not enough during the week on the overnight. Clearly not enough. We do this now 8 days a week. At least some of us do this 8 days a week. And this is the Saturday edition of the podcast. We will have plenty of amazing audio content for you. Of course, you'll be the judge of that. And back this weekend, you never know when he's going to be here and when he's not going to be here. He's very bougie. The work ethic's not quite up to standard. But David Gascon.
Nice of you to come hang out with the owner of Ross, Pierre Gascon.
Yeah, I figured, and salary demands aren't there, Matt, just yet. So I got to, play a little tough. I got to play a little push, a little back, that dance we do. So
just kind of sitting here with us common people, the hoi polloi.
Yeah, sitting at home is Ben Maller, the common people. Well, yes.
Again, I know you're oblivious to this. I'm in a professional radio studio.
From your house?
With better equipment, might I add, than the equipment that you're sitting in front of in that particular room. So I just want to point that out right now. I'm in a situation where the quality on my end
is awesome.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Because the equipment's better. So I just want to point that out.
I will be curious come tax season. I know we're around the corner, but I would imagine you'll push things back a little bit. I will be curious how much money you saved in 2020 on gas. Not like tires, not on oil, but gas.
Well, it went up. The electricity bill went up, as you know.
Of course, it did?
I had to pay for the electricity here, for all this equipment here. There's a lot of equipment in this particular studio that I have. So, so it balances out.
No way. There's no way that balances out. Like, you drive a hefty ways away to get to the Fox Sports studios.
Yeah. No, I do. I occasionally go in there and I go out there and I'll check out the Neanderthals like yourself that work there and I'll do it, time to time.
You check in when you need to pick up mail. Let's not confuse anybody about you checking in with people. It's killing two birds with one stone.
Of course, show you a little bit about my ambition here compared to Gascon. When I'm doing the show the broadcast line goes down, what I do
is in a
rainstorm. See, I'm hungry like a wolf.
Yeah.
I want to keep working. So what I do, I got that fire in my belly, Gascon. So I get in the Malamobile.
Yeah.
I didn't even put shoes on. I was in such a hurry because the main reason I was in a hurry is because that guy Brian Finley was on the air, and I could see my career going away because Brian Finley was doing the hour of radio while I was driving around. So I was a little concerned by that.
I actually have a remedy for that and for you.
Yeah.
This is something I was taught by someone else that works on one of these networks. Why don't you tape record an entire hour and have it in the bag?
So you're talking evergreen hour. You could just put that on at a given moment there.
In case, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not a bad idea. And I have thought about it. I was in the mothership, the Fox Sports Radio studios, when Wrong Button Bob got the nickname Wrong Button Bob. Bob Guerra went nuclear and hit the kill switch on the entire network. 400 radio stations in a switch. We didn't even know this existed until Robert Guerra found it, the producer now of The Odd Couple, my old producer. And all I did, I said, can you go back and reset the computer? Because you had to go back into the control room to reset the computer that I used when I was in there. And he went back and he flipped the switch, and then we found out what happened if Fox Sports Radio went off the air, and was not met with a lot of enthusiasm, because they had they did have some tape shows, but they were like 10 years old talking about college basketball. They were not generic.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying. They were not. They were time sensitive and did not satisfy the needs of the consumer.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that the best of Steve DeSager?
Yeah, well, yeah, we heard DeSager doing a college basketball, like NCAA tournament scoreboard, which would have been fine if it had been that year and it had been college basketball season. It would have been perfectly fine, but it was neither of those things.
It would have been awesome. It was neither. Would have been awesome if it was in March, right?
Like, yeah, we confused. Can you imagine how confused the people would be?
So good. That's great. That's great. So what's on the menu this fine Saturday?
All right, so on this Saturday edition of the Fifth Hour, we've got award show Drama-rama. We've got that, a lot to get to in that discussion. Also, Cyclops, Tales of West of the 405, and the nickname claim. And so we have all that. And in addition, if we have time, we'll get to Pop Quiz as well. That's a lot of content.
It is.
That's a lot of content. That's bonus content that only the P1s that tune in, even on the weekends, get. Other people don't get this content, guest guy. This is amazing content. I come in here with a lot of gumption to put this together. And people, you know, not everyone will hear it. We're fine. This is for the special, like, one percenters, if you will, that are extremely locked and loaded that support the podcast.
Or they have nothing else to do.
Well, that also. Well, and also the honey-do list on the weekends. I hear that a lot from the fellas. You know, you get the stuff that you got to do on the Saturday, get up early, do some stuff, and then you put the podcast on. Right. Or they would go for a walk or whatever. Whatever you do. Right. Many different ways you can consume the podcast. Or if you're a truck driver, and I know from talking to Moving Man Matt, the great Moving Man out of Boston, that he will save up the podcast, the full Monty, and then when he goes on the road, goes to Oregon or somewhere across the country, he'll just put on the podcast.
It's good.
Anyway, all right. Now, award show Drama-O-Rama, it is one of the biggest weekends of the year on the Ben Maller Show. And if you've been listening, you know, if you've been paying attention to the overnight show, all about the lead up to the pinnacle, to the big payoff, right? The crescendo. And that would be Sunday night into Monday. Now, why is Sunday night into Monday different than all other nights on the Ben Maller Show in 2021? I'm glad you asked. It is the night that we present in living audio color 2021's Benny Awards, celebrating mediocrity in marginal overnight sports radio. And I know, Gascon, for you, this is very difficult to be part of. Now, you're not part of that show, but this is where we honor the people you consider peasants and sharecroppers and hayseeds and country bumpkins. These are the people that are below you, Gascon, but to me, they're equals. And so we're going to honor these people. It's always a stressful time in the show, but I know you don't like that when we kind of celebrate the regular people. You were annoyed by that, Geska.
I'm a little appalled by it. I'm not going to lie. I mean, everyone that's out there that listens to this podcast knows I'm underappreciated and undervalued and undercompensated.
Well,
and on top
really.
Of that, I break my back for you. And
oh my God!
And then additionally, I am not even up for a consideration as a Benny for a commendable fill-in. Because that's exactly what I am. For what you have on your show with three guys, most of them sleeping the majority of the 4 hours, you lean on me like a good wingman. Like, this is Pete Mitchell and Mother Goose and Top Gun. Yeah. Like, I am here there for you at any given time. Not only on the air, but at the middle of the night, I supply you with entertaining and theatrical stories that make you laugh a little bit during a...
You have a special kind of mishigas, as my grandfather would say. You are so oblivious. You know, you have missed a bunch of podcasts.
I've missed like six.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That is a ton, okay? That is a ton. And you're so oblivious. You're unaware. The podcast has been fine.
No, it hasn't. I mean, if I'm getting direct messages that sucks on this, then I completely disagree. Look,
who do you want to rip then? We've had great people that have come in here and done the podcast.
What are their names? What are their names?
Well, last week we had Bo the Show that was in here and did an amazing job.
Did he talk at all?
Yes. He was great. Mm. He didn't talk too much. He didn't try to steal the show. At all. He was wondering. We had Kevin, the great Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin, he
did a solid job.
He's the guy that just left the company 2 days ago. Okay, continue.
Well, that's fine. He probably got a better job. Good for him.
It's the curse of the Bambino. Continue.
There's no curse of the Bambino at all.
He worked on your show and then he quit. He left.
Well, because now, because of that, it's the catapult. He's now probably got a better job. Wow. Good for him.
Wow. Well, just
another Maller success story. The Maller tree.
Wow.
Booming.
Maybe he could go write for a local newspaper and plagiarize some articles and then get fired.
Wow. Savage monster. You are a savage monster. Yeah. All right. Anyway, listen, the point of this is Gascon, the show goes on, the jubilation, the celebration. It's always Lollapalooza, I think is the word I was looking for there. But it's always fun, even when you're not here. So, but the reason, get back to the point, please. All right. So we're talking about this week being special. Why is this a stressful time? Because there is so much on the line. There is so much on the line. You win a Benny Award.
Yeah.
And your life changes in amazing ways. It does. You get immense clout in the little village that is the Ben Maller Show, the Maller Militia. In our little ecosystem, our little world here, it's a big deal. This is a big deal. You might say, oh, who cares? It's just a dopey overnight show. No one's listening anyway. And you might be right about that. But we have our own little cult. And for the nocturnal creatures, right, to get together there, and all the carnivores and the primitive beings that listen overnight, that are up all night with us. This is huge. This is very important. It's essential that you are celebrated and honored with a Benny Award. And now the real reason for the anxiety, though, is emotion. Emotion takes over. The better story is in the losing locker room. And there's a couple layers to this. It's the people that don't get nominated. I get nasty emails. I've been listening to you for X number of years, and your show used to be good, but I cannot believe I sent you 7,328 text messages via Twitter, and you did not put me on the list as a nominee. I always like that. And then I also like the nominees who don't win and then have bitterness and resentment towards the show as well.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. The Bennies, we've done this for several years now, and some people hold such a grudge that we have lost some of our higher-ranking members of the Maller Militia, P1s.
It's good.
Because of displeasure for not winning an award which has no financial, no monetary value. You don't get a trophy. And every year there's at least one or two unhinged whack jobs, the chowderheads that come out here. But I say to each their own, guess.
All right, I got a question and a comment for this. First off, the comment is this: it's probably Coop's idea, but I thought it was a great job that you guys have nominated or renamed it Jeannie and Medford Caller of the Year.
We did that several years ago when Jeannie passed away.
Right,
thanks for paying attention there. Right. I know you're a big fan of the show. But the Jeannie and Medford Memorial Caller of the Year Award.
That's
the greatest caller in the history of sports talk radio in the overnight, the great Jeannie and Medford.
Yeah.
Loved her. I thought she was fake for the first 5 years she called the show. I said, there's no one could be this crazy, but she was.
That's good. Now, the question is do you have anybody that you would consider in the running for a Leonardo DiCaprio kind of award? Like, what I mean by that is it took DiCaprio years and years and years to finally win an Oscar.
Yeah.
Like, he was nominated sometimes, other times he wasn't, and just never won anything despite having good work. And then he finally had that happen. I think it was with The Revenant a couple years ago. So do you have anyone on your big board that you say, keep an eye on him or her because they've been in contention a few times and just have never gotten over the hump?
Oh, yeah. There's several members of the Maller militia that are underappreciated, underrated, undervalued, however under word you want to use. And I don't want to influence the voting because the voting is Saturday. There's still time to vote. And you're laughing at me, but seriously, because this is the final push here.
Yeah.
And now it's a little harder to vote now because I had to move some tweets around and you got to check my timeline on there. You might have to scroll down a little bit. Maybe I'll repin that. I'm not sure how we're going to do that. But the voting is on, there's a way you can vote on Google. One vote per customer.
Yeah.
There's a link. It's on the Facebook page. You're going to have to scroll down a little bit. But please vote. If you haven't voted yet, some of these categories are literally, I'm not exaggerating, literally and figuratively being decided by like 10 votes or less.
Wow.
It's insane.
Now, for the sake of transparency, will you let everybody that's voting on this know that when the voting starts, it will not stop at 4 o'clock in the morning and then restart 3 hours later?
Well, let me put it this way, Gascon. We will have on this edition of the podcast, the Saturday edition of the Fifth Hour podcast, we'll have full transparency. We're going to wait, actually, to announce the real winners. We're going to give out the awards on Sunday night, but we're going to wait a couple weeks there till all the absentee ballots come in, and then we're going to count the absentee ballots, which I didn't even know was possible on an internet poll, but we're going to wait for that.
You never know. Jeannie might actually vote then, considering the dead vote.
Yeah. Now, just to give you a heads up, as we're doing this, we obviously, the podcast is recorded in a previous day than Saturday, but to give you an idea of where we're at, now, one of the categories, best show marketing, and this is a category that includes Shell Shock, really being the driving force, the guiding light for the Maller Maneuver drink at a bar in Colorado.
Yeah.
We thank him for that. Moving Man Matt came up with the mobile Maller Militia billboard on the back of his big rig, driving around the highways and byways of America. Andrea, the sports astrologist, Virgo in service on Twitter, she promoted the show when they did a feature on her on CBS Sunday Morning. Gave us a shout out. And then Fats in Philadelphia lit himself on fire screaming, Ben Maller, during the NFL draft, which was a great way to market the show since he didn't die. So those are all the nominees in this category. But the top two are literally the separation point between number one and number two in this category is 17 votes.
That's good.
17 votes is the separation. Very close. Best lame joke writer of the year. Very, very close as well. Splitting hairs here. In fact, this one, there are, as we're doing this, 5 votes separate first place from second place. 5! And we, keep in mind, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have voted, and 5 votes separate this category.
That's good.
That is insanity. Some of the other categories that are extremely, extremely close. Female caller of the year. The ladies stepping up their game. Are we going to have to change that just to gender neutral call of the year in the future? I hope not.
Maybe you dub it as as Title IX caller of the year. How about that? Title IX caller of the year.
Now, we've had a big sea change in this category, and the favorite is still in the lead, but number one to number two, as we're doing this, 2 votes.
Oh, wow.
This is insanity.
Oh.
And the person that was in number one is now 14 votes behind number one. So it's like a horse race, neck and neck. It's going to be a photo finish in many of these categories. It's so exciting. And we also have the social media brackets, which are online, and the final bracket is up. But we had 16 finalists, the Sweet 16, and we're paring that down. We also had the category for the top power hour from 2020, which you, of course, mocked and ridiculed, Gascon.
Such bad radio.
It was tremendous radio. It was wonderful. We learned about people, learned about their lives, and very relatable, something I know west of the 405. You guys can't even have your streets safe enough for the great Tiger Woods to drive through. So you guys got your issues over there west of the 405. Just want to point that out.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. So Now, as far as the people getting upset again, I just want to circle back to that, as the White House press secretary would say. So you really don't need to go stark raving mad. PSA, you don't have to go stark raving mad because you didn't win a dopey award show, you know, on the Bennies. It'd be cool if you did. Not everyone's going to win, obviously. It's not like you actually win a trophy. I must stress this. You don't win anything. You get, but you do get golden tickets, which are only good. It's like Mickey Mouse dollars. They're only good at Disneyland. It's virtual street cred. You get some of that. But the callers, I will say, the callers were more important than ever in 2020. And our show's much different than the other shows in that, you know, the other shows, they most of them have gone away from taking calls and having listener contributions. And some of these shows, I'll let you in a little secret, some of these shows, it's taboo to say this, they actually tape their show. They're not even there to take calls because they're, you know, whatever, they're doing their thing. We're doing it live, and we do obviously have a lot of interaction. That's one of the things that makes the show different and unique. And with sports shutting down, you, the listener, were more important. We had no actual sporting events for over 100 days, almost 150 days. To talk about in 2020. So we thank you.
Now, will we ever get the chance, since we introduced Benny versus the Penny in 2020 online, would you ever consider doing the Bennies on YouTube?
Yeah, I would, but it's part of the radio show. So it's like for the radio show.
Gotcha.
So I feel like it should be in that world. It should be in that world, because as much as I try to get people to listen to this podcast and to the other things that we do, there's a certain percentage of people that just are only radio listeners.
Yeah.
And as much as I have tried, and usually it's people over a certain age, I'll stereotype, that they're radio people. I love radio, but I'm able to listen to podcasting and streaming and whatnot, but some people aren't.
Yeah.
And they're only able to listen to the radio. So I don't want to eliminate those people who are the backbone in the of the show. So we have the Cyclops. What is the Cyclops all about here, guest?
Well,
what is
this about? So it's that cloud that we have kind of crafted and created that was upon us in 2019, September of 2019, when we first launched the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It's taken us to the highs of the highs of you being disbanded from Rams and Seahawks games, to the lows of the lows with my car being hit and windows being bashed out. I was not around last week, obviously, and I know that was felt by you not being on the podcast for a couple days. And
show was great. Bo, the show was wonderful.
I thought, you know, I had some issues. I needed to go visit an optometrist. And, you know, for a month, maybe like 3 weeks, I had dryness, or at least I felt like I had dryness in one of my eyes. And I was scratching it and rubbing it so much, I thought maybe it was an eyelash. Maybe it was just something from the morning time. Couldn't get anything out. And I tried remedying it by putting a warm cloth in my eye, eye drops, nothing worked. I even took the drops that I used for my ear, since they were eye drops, and still nothing worked. So I went to an optometrist and visited with the optometrist, and she's like, I'm going to run you through an entire evaluation since it's been a few years since you've had an exam. So I said, all right, fine, take a few minutes, no worries. Ben, I went through a 75-minute eye evaluation, and I shit you not, it was like a full-blown exercise routine. I was gassed. I was so tired, like just my eyes and my head from the functioning. And she said two things. She said, hey, do you have double vision? And I said, no, why? And she says, because some of these baseline tests that I put you through, it looks like you have double vision. But your eyes reset so fast because your eye muscles are fast, but your eye alignment is unbalanced. So you're going to be susceptible to that as you age. And I was like, fuck, this is another thing Ben hasn't told me about.
So I don't have double vision. That's one thing that's not fucked up. Everything else is fucked up, but that's not one thing that's messed up with me.
So the creme de la creme was at the end. She went through the entire evaluation, then started looking at my eyes to see if anything was in it. And this made me upset. Like, I don't know, have you ever been outside the park catastrophe? Have you ever had a moment in your life where your body went into a fight or flight moment that you can remember and it was really intense?
You know, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think, I've been in some accidents where you kind of like her, but I don't think I've ever fully gone into that mode. So no.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've only been into it twice. And oddly enough, it was one of the first times was when I was fasting to start, and I had to do a physical, and I had 6 vials of blood drawn. And for some reason, I went into a fight or flight because I was having the blood drawn. And I was looking at it, and I felt like I was nauseated. I felt like throwing up. I felt like just sweating. Well, when she was evaluating my eyes and then looking in to see if I had anything in them, she put this blue light into my eye, and then she flipped my eyelid. And for some reason, like just...
Oh, that sounds terrible.
So benign. But Ben, it was so benign. All of a sudden, I started, because I was fatigued already, I started getting this massive headache. And then she pulled away. And Ben, it looked like someone dumped a gallon of water on me. I started breaking out in this massive sweat. I felt nauseated. My adrenaline was going. Blood was pumping. And I was fasting that same day, but I just felt fucking dead. And she said, are you all right? And I was like, I got no clue. Like, I feel like I'm in this like fight or flight situation. It was like that for 15 minutes. And then she said, after we were done, she's like, we need to redo this. So after it was over with, we did both eyes. And she says, you have asymmetrical elliptical nerve heads. And these nerve heads are at the back of your eyes. And they basically feed everything from your eye neurologically to your brain. And they're asymmetrical. So she says, when they're asymmetrical for human beings, you're susceptible or you can be down the road for glaucoma.
Oh, man.
So I was like, wait a minute.
You don't want
wait
to hear
a
that.
Minute. I was like, wait a minute.
Jesus Christ.
So she asked me, she's like, does anyone in your family have glaucoma or anything of that nature? I said, no. And she says, well, then that's, you've had that then since birth. It's genetic or you've had it just because of birth. So...
Is there something they can do now that they know this, that they can manage it?
Yeah.
That's good. So this is a good thing. It's a horror story, but it's a good thing.
Kind of. So I got to go to an ophthalmologist now. And
spend thousands of dollars.
Probably. And so yeah. I need to have a baseline test to see exactly where those nerve heads are and then see how enlarged they become or if they don't at all. Because I asked her that. I said, hey, is this something that I can reverse? Is it something I can prevent? And she says, no, but we had to monitor it. So you have to be aware of this as you age, when you hit 45, when you hit 50, you know, and beyond that. So two things that really just fucked me.
So you've got the vision. My hearing, I know, is I'm going to, you know, my old man had a hearing aid, but I know I'm going to need a hearing aid, guaranteed by a certain point here. The hearing, I wear headphones for 30 hours a week here, turned all the way up.
Yeah.
That's going to be my issue there. But as far as the flight or fight or flight thing, I think the closest I've had to that is flop sweat when I did a really bad monologue and I just was drowning on the air, flop sweat, and that was just very uncomfortable. And that would be as close. I've done that many times.
Yeah.
Boy, the first show I ever did in radio, oh my God, did I have stage fright. I was fine. I had prepared for the monologue. It was like a Saturday morning. I had prepared for the monologue. This was my big break. I was going to host a show, and it was in L.A., and it was a big deal, and so I prepared for the monologue, and I just nailed the monologue. It was a perfect 10, and I was all excited. I was all proud of myself, and then I had no material prepared for the rest of the show. I had nothing. I had no direction, no idea what I wanted to talk about, what I was going to do, and then, of course, no one called, so I'm just drowning. I was just, and I remember my program director had come in to, Bo Bennett was the guy's name. He came in to congratulate me. He said, boy, you really did a great job, man. You were wonderful. Man, you really just did a wonderful job. We're so proud of you. And then he came back later, and it was in a slightly different tone. Like I had been blindsided. Oh man.
Yeah, I was so disappointed, obviously with my eyes, but the fact that I went into a fight or flight situation with just the flipping of an eyelid.
Yeah. Well, your eyes, you're worried, you mess with the eyes, the brain's right behind that. You're screwed.
Yeah, I was a little nervous, so that's where I'm at. This is it all goes downhill apparently once you hit the big 4-0.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that. I'm still 30. So we have the nickname claim, and then we'll get the tales of West of the 405. We'll have to push back Pop Quiz to the Sunday podcast. All right, so the nickname claim. Big week on the show for nicknames. Now, we added not one, but two, and this is a podcast exclusive, two new officially sanctioned nicknames.
For who?
For me. All right, these were given by listeners. Now, they both passed the test. They are now kosher. Big shout out to Tree in Vegas. Big tip of the headphones here. Tree in Vegas submitted one. This was on the air because of my gambling habit. Moneyline Maller. Moneyline Maller. That is nickname number 47. So thank you, Tree in Vegas. On Twitter, our P1 buddy, Big Rig Rob, submitted the nickname number 48. And I am now known as the Shaman of Schadenfreude. The Shaman of Schadenfreude. So thank you to Big Rig Rob. As you know, I enjoy taking joy out of other people's misery in sports. So I now have more official nicknames than there are presidents that have, you know, there have been 46 presidents. I have 48 nicknames. So I'll point that out.
Well, I do appreciate the fact that you were labeled Moneyline Maller, since a couple weeks ago you were corrected by a few people with our dispute between what Moneyline odds are and what they are not. And
that's a lie. That's a lie.
It's good. Now, obviously, he wasn't paying attention to Benny versus the Penny in 2020, because he would not acknowledge that if it was the case, since he finished behind the Penny to close out the 2020 NFL season.
In fairness and truth in broadcasting, if we had finished the year, and I unfortunately took a couple weeks off there because you didn't want to work at the end of the year, and then situation with my family, so I couldn't do the playoffs, but I would have dominated the postseason. I'll point that out. I want to point that out.
Well, that's good. So now you mentioned the nicknames, but what is the criteria? What is the smell test?
Well, you know, each nickname is judged on the rhythmic nature of it, the comedic nature of it. Is it going to stand the test of time? Can't be too time specific. And so there's several criteria that go into it, and these are both passed the test: the eyeball test, the smell test, the hearing test, Moneyline Maller, and the Shaman of Schadenfreude. New nicknames, very exciting. Now we have Tales of the West of the 405. Quickly, Gascon. Tales of West of the 405.
I've been sitting in it frequently, and I was invited by somebody on the apparatus. But for iPhone users that are out there, if you have access, or if you'd like to, you can join and download an app called Clubhouse. It is an application which is audio only, but it's set up like the old school days of AOL, when they'd have those chat rooms where you could just meet people on there and type away.
Well, you're picking up women on this thing?
Well, no, but you can if you wanted to, but there's different rooms in there for different kind of categories. And so I've invited you on there, but I thought it might be appropriate to invite people and to set something up like one of these days, and maybe do something once a week where we invite members of the Malum Militia into a private room where we can grab ass and talk and chat and ask questions and do shit like that for 50, 60 minutes. It's a good platform, but it's an opportunity for people to network, people to connect, and obviously just shoot the breeze about anything that's out there. It's fascinating stuff. Like, I know Mark Cuban's been on there a few times. Elon Musk has been on there as well. You get different celebrities, different personalities, and I think it's fascinating that it's an application where it does away from the nuances of trying to network directly through emails and through company portals and shit like that. You can actually reach out to these people one-on-one, and it's fascinating. I actually think it's right up there, and I think it's the equivalent of Facebook. Better than Instagram. It's the equivalent.
But it's audio.
Facebook.
It's only audio.
Yes.
So there's no video element to it. It's only audio. So how do people not start talking over each other?
There's moderators in each room, and in order to speak, there's an icon that allows you to designate someone to raise their hand. If they want to raise their hand and talk, they can, and if not, they don't talk at all. So you have moderators, you have speakers, and then you have an audience. The cool thing is how you connect to people is you can list a profile like you would for Twitter or Instagram. And you can link your Twitter account and your Instagram accounts that way. So if you want to speak to someone directly, you connect with them on Instagram, and then you can send them direct messages. That's happened to me a lot on there. So you can't DM anybody on Clubhouse, but you can do it through other applications. So I would recommend to do that. I think it'd be pretty fun, and I think it would be...
Do you have like an investment in this or something? It sounds like you have a financial stake.
No, but I do think that we can make it a financial situation if we pick up sponsors and we do things like that. Okay. People do it all the time where they have a segment or something like that that's sponsored by a certain advertiser, and then you plug them for a little while. Right. So
I'll investigate. I will check that out. But I believe we have to get out of here, Geska.
Goodbye.
It's that time, right?
It is.
Well, we gotta say goodbye. I don't know if it'd be rude.
Ta-ta like for now. Ciao.
Till we meet again.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.